Karma's not in the studio yet. She will be here shortly.
Yeah, she's running a little bit late today.
Yeah, not a problem, though.
Yes,
a problem.
We are like flying today, man. We're like, okay, all right, so this sucks, first of all. I got here like at 4, you know, and we're like, we got the craziest crap going on today.
Yeah,
I mean,
pretty busy
today. This has been, honestly, I mean,
the past 2 weeks have been pretty wild.
Yeah, as far as the show goes, and the work we've been doing.
The website is completely revamped.
Yeah, we go to,
Thanks to you, you just totally picked
thing up, dude.
www.ghostlytalk.com. I put in a new theme.
Yeah, oh,
and
wow,
this new theme is really clean, really nicely designed, as opposed to the last one, which was just a mess.
Well, that was cool.
Some new features on the website.
Oh, yeah. We got the goofy little toys to put
in. Yeah, the shout box, which we monitor every now and then.
Yeah,
of course,
we have to.
And
I can see already the filth is starting to leak its way in.
I know, it's going to get pretty crazy. I should put a little disclaimer on there.
Hey, can you please keep it clean,
people?
I mean, we like a good joke better than anybody, but...
And the journals.
Yeah, journals.
You know, your journal is much more popular than mine.
Oh, please.
It is. I was looking at the counts, and I'm like, oh, man, what do I got to do, you know? I guess I got to post, you know...
You got to start talking about sex, man.
Yeah, sex and rock and roll and stuff.
There you go, dude. No, get them there.
And then, I put in journals. I put in news feeds. Now, news feeds are important because I want to hook up with other webmasters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people who have important paranormal websites.
Yeah.
I want to hook up with them, and I want to exchange news feeds.
Yeah.
I'd like to put their news on our site. And our news on their site.
Mm-hmm.
And to that end, people can, you know, Ghostly Talk guests, our website members can post interesting stories. The only thing is, it's got to be written by them. It can't be like, you know, cut and paste
no
from CNN or anything.
No more of that stuff.
Yeah, but you write up a little article, put a link to an article or something.
Hey, guys, look at this interesting story that I wrote.
Yeah.
Copy, paste, send.
And so what happens is it could have a link to an article in it, but the text that's on our page has to be written by you.
So that's
you
to get
own
you,
that article.
That's to get you thinking.
Yeah.
That's to get you thinking. And putting those thoughts down on the paper.
Well, it's all about thinking. We've been trying to get folks to think. I've been trying to think for about a year and a half, over a year and a half now.
Yeah.
I'm
thinking about the wrong things. Yeah. That's the problem.
I love Andrew W.K.
I love him. Shut up. I love him. I love that man. What's going on in the chat room?
The folks are in the chat room. Speaking of which, another thing I put on the website is a chat room. You have to be a member of the website in order to use it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a member of our website, go to ghostlytalk.com and click on the Live IRC chat link. If you're not, go to pioneer.rollo, that's R-O-L-O, .net,
mm-hmm.
and in there's a text chat link in the little dial menu, text chat, and that will get you into the chat room, because there's a lot of people in the chat room, and there's a fellow, Vance, saying, hey, say hi to Aaron for me. Well, Aaron's going to be calling in about 20 minutes or so, and we'll pass your messages and questions along.
Yeah,
so if you've got questions for Aaron, get into the chat room, either through ghostlytalk.com or through pioneer.rollo.net, and enter him in the chat room, because we are in the chat room, and we're monitoring it. I'd like to say thanks to Pioneer for putting up with us.
also, we're on Yahoo Messenger, too.
Yeah, we are Ghostly Talk.
If you have Yahoo Messenger, you like to talk with people on there, go ahead and dial up Will. He's manning the IMs tonight. If you have a question for Aaron, or you have a question for us or anything like that, feel free. Go right ahead.
Speaking of Aaron, our guest tonight is going to be Aaron Donahue. Aaron C. Donahue is a remote viewer.
He is the world's most famous remote viewer.
Yeah, him and Ed Dames, you know.
Yeah, Ed Dames, though.
But Ed Dames Aaron, is like on Coast to Coast and things like that all the time.
Yes.
Why did I hear a ding?
I don't know.
It's probably your computer.
Okay, good.
Oh, my goodness.
Because I should not hear dings. Hey, Karma, we're on the
Karma's
air.
In the studio, finally. Karma's here, finally.
So
you keep talking while I get up and let her slide through.
That's a good idea.
Okay, cool.
What we've got going on is Aaron C. Donahue is a world-famous remote viewer. He's been on things like the Sci-Fi Channel's revamped In Search Of show, and he did a thing there. I saw it, and I even called Scott. I called Scott L. when I saw
Scott?
That. Yeah, I called him, and I said, Scott, Aaron Donahue, he's on the Sci-Fi Channel. And what he did is he located a woman who was sitting in a restaurant. He's been on other kinds of remote viewing programs, and he will be on Suspect Zero. He has a part in Suspect Zero. It's a blockbuster movie, like directed or produced or something by Tom Cruise.
Right.
And of course, it's got Carrie Ann
Carrie Ann Moss. Carrie Ann Moss. Matrix.
Aaron Eckert of, he was an Aaron Brockovich. And so, yeah.
Ben Kingsley.
From Gandhi. Mahatma Gandhi. So I mean, that's a big, big movie coming out next year, Suspect Zero. And Aaron plays an FBI remote viewer in it. I asked him if he got to meet Carrie Ann Moss.
After all that, he's doing
all this like stuff, and it's like,
so did you meet her? all these wonderful things he's doing. The one thing we want to know about Aaron Donahue is if he actually got to meet Carrie Ann Moss.
No, that's really wonderful. Really shallow.
If all it was just a meeting.
No.
Now, if we get to talk about that, that'd be hot. We'd be like, getting in big trouble.
So Ghost of Talk is live on Pioneer Radio, pioneer.rolo.net. We're on live from Sundays from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Uh-huh. It replays. The replays are rebroadcast throughout the week on Pioneer, according to some kind of interesting rotating schedule. And we're also replayed on Moist FM, which is on live365.com. Uh-huh. We're replayed on...
KSSX.
Oh, yes, KSSX, the show talkers, folks.
Uh-huh.
And... We're replayed on that station as well. So you've got various ways to hear us.
You mentioned our site, didn't you?
GhostlyTalk.com. We've got the archives.
You can download or stream the archives.
Well, the thing is, for a long time, I was not updating the archives.
Slacker!
But you guys, we've put in a new system for the past, three or four weeks now.
No, we actually have a whole month of our recent archives.
Yeah, immediately after the show, I put it on floppy, on CD-ROM, and I give it to Scott Ellen. He goes home. Yeah, and he puts it online. And so the archives do go up that night or the next morning.
They get up that night. I've been
trying to
religiously get them up by 11 o'clock on Sunday nights.
So
I'm
going to
kill a dog outside, but don't stop barking.
I want to know, did shavers go up in price or something?
Oh, I'm growing my winter coat right now. it's getting cold outside. It's time to grow my winter coat out. But thank you for asking, though.
Okay.
In your own manner.
I'm going to grow
a beard. You're going to grow a beard, too?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You're a man.
Before we get into the interview segment, which of course is why a lot of people are just so excited. I did things. Oh, first I want to tell you this. I submitted 3 press releases.
Yes, you did.
I mean, that was exciting.
Somebody shoot that dog, please.
Hang on, I'll be right back.
Okay. Somebody get the gun.
Why don't we shut the window because it's cold?
You can shut it.
I'm
sure,
quite comfortable myself, but if you're cold.
And then the
dog or shut the window.
Oh, I kill a dog. You're a lot of fun.
So,
I'm kidding.
I've put up 3 press releases.
Humanitarian.
Will actually got us a new link on sci-fi.com.
Yeah,
so we are in the new links or whatever at sci-fi.com.
We decided to interview Aaron Donahue, which brought enough traffic to the site, and then we decided to get ourselves on sci-fi.com, which brought even more traffic to the site. So we decided to it's a real good server test for us, I guess.
Yeah.
And the server's been holding up; it hasn't crashed yet. Thank goodness. We have a call.
No, we both not have a call. So, the other thing I wanted to mention before we get into the interview section, which is really, really important this week, is that we've got a lot of stuff coming up. But, obviously the month of October for Ghost Hunters is like the pinnacle of the year. It's part of it. And it's been really cold here in Michigan. I mean, it's been bitter cold, but it's supposed to get up nice. It's going to be in the 70s, 60s.
Are we going to have another Indian summer this year?
I hope it lasts for about 3 months. And then, so we've got a lot of stuff coming up. For example, the week of Halloween. So from Halloween's on a Friday. So from Monday through Friday, Will and I and Karma.
Yeah.
Right? We're all
going to come in, too.
You're going to be working stuff. Unless, do you have that week off?
Wait.
The week of Halloween.
No. See? Where you guys are going,
You'll be there in spirit.
Yeah. We're all going to be at the Holly Hotel in Holly, Michigan. The Holly Hotel is if you search for it on, the Shadowlands and stuff like that, it's haunted, right? And we're going to be there. We're going to be doing a presentation. And, of course, the important thing that's happening at the Holly Hotel in Holly, Michigan, the week of Halloween, is the seances. The seances that are done by... a fellow Michigan Ghostbuster member, Kelly. Yeah, Kelly is doing the seances. She's a spiritual medium who can talk with deceased people. So she's going to be doing the seances there. If you want more information about the Holly Hotel, go to hollyhotel.com.
Uh-huh.
They have fabulous food. It's expensive. Bring your platinum card. But it is worth every penny.
And
we're going to be there. We'll be hanging out in the basement.
Oh, bring your sugar daddy.
What? Yeah, just
give me with my sugar daddy.
Get yourself a sugar daddy.
Or sugar mama.
Or sugar mama. Yo.
I think
we're putting the rule into effect right now. Every time you say something, you have to say yo after it, okay?
Yo.
And then, what I was going to say was...
yo.
Yo, there you go, exactly. The question I had, yo, was, do you actually have to dress up to go to the Holly Hotel and eat, yo?
Well, the two times that I went there, I did dress up.
I heard that you're supposed to.
But I didn't dress up in, like, suit and tie. I dressed up in, you know, I had... You know, khakis and
a shirt. Shorts and a t-shirt.
You did, but you know the thing is, I looked
everybody
around.
Everybody was looking at you. I bet.
There were bother me. I was just wondering if I was going to get thrown out or not.
There were other folks there who were casual.
I could picture you trying to step on your soup, Scott, and then they're like yanking the spoon away from your mouth.
Oh my gosh! What did I have last time for the soup? The last time I had,
didn't you?
No, I had
quail.
I had stuffed quail.
About an ounce of meat on it.
It was like, you know, it was
about $50 for a plate.
And that would be Mr. Allen's hotel.
Let's promote Mr. Allen. That capitalist swine. I don't want to promote that guy.
Okay, we will.
He's still in Lucky tennis shoes. I hate him. You guys aren't wearing Nike tennis shoes, are you?
No.
Okay. Oh, heavens no.
See, I'm going to get sued by Nike now.
Yeah.
Well,
goes our only sponsor. Yeah. I was in secret negotiations with Nike to sponsor the show, but you're right. That stuff about them, you know, and the kids and stuff and overseas, forget it.
Anyways,
$200,000 a year is all they wanted to sponsor us for.
$200,000?
Yeah. Those kids over there are working.
Yeah, they got a job.
They got a job.
Just like you, Carl, to see the good in everything, huh?
It's a sweatshop.
Well, at least they're working, man. They could be sitting around watching TV.
Yeah.
It's a sweatshop.
I think they'd make more money sitting around watching TV.
Honey, you're late for work. Grab your SpongeBob backpack.
SpongeBob, their pants.
Oh my God!
So what was I going to say? Now I've forgotten
about the Holly Hotel.
Holly Hotel. So we are going to be there that week. After that, we're supposed to go on an overnighter trip. Big hush hush secret stuff.
Oh, it's going to be at the
click. And your cousin's coming along on that trip, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Awesome, and his fiance.
Correct.
Excellent. So we're going to be doing that. This last week of October is going to be very busy.
There's also talks about possibly, I don't know if it's going to work out or not. I told you about the call they got this week from one of our old friends.
I hope that works out.
That we may be doing another anniversary-style ghostly talk with large amounts of alcohol being consumed on the air, which I just thought was absolutely wonderful.
That was excellent.
Wasn't it great?
That was.
And there's actually a group up on the Ghostly Talk site. We have a picture up of me and Will. We're going head to head.
But we're gonna need.
I won too.
We're gonna need an interpreter.
Scott is such a wuss when it comes to drinking.
We're gonna need an interpreter, especially for me.
You know what? I listened to that show, and we were actually we were right on the ball. Mm-hmm. I mean, as drunk as we were, well, me and you were that night, we were right on the ball.
Okay, from here on out, when we do Ghostly Talk, we have to be sipping a 40.
Sipping a 40?
You know,
I drink 544 ounces of Diet Pepsi.
You don't want me to be drinking and talking.
Yeah.
I've been there for that.
Yeah, is that
great,
fun?
It's great.
Did really? Your top come off?
Are we
going to come off or what?
Only if it gets wet.
I have a feeling
I'm going to get a bucket.
So this is going to be what, February or March? When is the Ghostly Talk anniversary?
Oh, God. Well, officially it would be in March. I think we celebrated it. My God, I forgot when we had that party.
It was like, what, March? It was like right around March
15th. March 15th, I think.
We changed the date like three times.
Yeah,
it was like March 15th, I thought.
So we're going to have a big blowout?
Again, but we were thinking about having a big blowout at the end of Halloween, though. Well, we're going to be a party, though.
Oh, you mean when?
At the end of this month.
We're going to have a big drunken...
Well, no, I told you we got the call this week.
Oh.
From a friend.
Oh,
he said, hey, man, I'm having a massive, ridiculous, satanic, ritual, orgy-style Halloween party going here, dude, and you guys show up. And I'm like, well, okay, how about this?
Hey, tell your dad that we'll be there.
Ha 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 You were waiting all week to say that, weren't you?
How about this?
I threw it at him and said, hey, how about we broadcast Ghostly Talk? How about we broadcast Ghostly Talk from there? You know, either we, like, do it live or we record it. One of the two, you know? And he was like, are you kidding me? That'd be wonderful. I'd love to do that.
Oh, so that would rock.
Let's talk about that.
That's on a Saturday night, isn't it?
Saturday night, yeah.
Yeah, we gotta clear that with corporate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pioneer.rolo.net.
We gotta clear it with the white collars.
So, yeah, we'll see what happens. Because I know on Pioneer they added like 12 new shows.
Yeah.
So Pioneer Radio is like really fleshing out its programming. And so we'll see what happens on that.
Yeah, we're going to have to talk it over. But if in the works, you know, we'll see what happens. Hopefully it'll happen. Cause
do you know? I think I'm the only one. Well, you know, the old CPR folks, they have a copy, but I have a copy of the other party.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want that on CD? Yeah,
I need it to put up on my archives. Yeah, we need to put that up.
You really want that in the archives?
Are you kidding me? Absolutely. That was great.
So I can like get prepared for.
What you do is you have to wear one of them hats that you can put two beers in.
No, the last thing I remember about that night was just like clutching my cell phone for dear life and just passing out on the couch. And that's all I remember is, like, looking up and seeing, like, just seeing stuff in the air, and just, that was it. Done. And next thing I know, I wake up, and I hear birds chirping and stuff. And that was the aftermath, basically. It was a very rough night for everybody concerned. And it was one of those knockdown, rag-out, like, people in the front yard hunched over doing bad stuff kind of parties. That was pretty rough.
That was that party, yeah. and then, of course, the following month. So October is a really, really busy month.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of which, I probably should have mentioned to you this while we weren't on the air.
Okay.
I may have to cancel a Ghostly Talk. I've got a media.
No.
I know, not next week, but the week after because I've got a media.
You're lying too much.
No, I'm lying. What's the truth?
It is.
Tell us the truth.
It's a media.
You can't handle the truth.
I think we're fired.
I think we got canned. We're going to get canned out of here. This is great.
We've given us 2 weeks' notice.
The Holly Hotel. Yeah, I have to go to the Holly Hotel for some kind of media meeting. So, I don't know. We'll try and work it out.
Maybe we'll swing it here. Maybe we can swing it ourselves again.
All right.
That'd be great.
We can work it out. How about we talk about it off the air?
I think that's a good idea.
That's a great idea.
That's a good idea. So, what happens is another guest I want to get on eventually, as soon as we possibly can, is the ParanormalNews.com folk.
Gotcha.
Because we had Cassandra Frost on, right? And she wrote an article that got posted on ParanormalNews.com. So that's what, like, we're one step closer to getting the ParanormalNews.com folks on the air.
Yeah.
And I just can't wait. Yeah.
We're trying to. We didn't even know, really. We didn't even know or realize that Mr. Jeff lives about 10 minutes away from the Haunted Basement Studios.
He's, like, right here in Michigan, yeah.
Well, he sent an email. You know, I'm
two cities over from us.
Yeah. I'm like, really? My goodness.
We're going to stalk you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We're going to do it.
So
I've been out for his house for the last 2 weeks.
He never comes out, does he?
He don't want to.
I know. He stays in there.
That creepy kid from Ghostly Talk sitting out front.
We need
call
bait.
The cops again?
We need bait.
So,
how do you bait a webmaster?
That's how you bait him, to come out of the house.
We bait you. We bait you.
With a white t-shirt and very wet.
Yes, we'll hold you down until we get you there.
Okay.
No, we'll use his hose to hold you down.
Yeah, and I'll be like, look what happened.
Oh, my God.
Look, dinner shirt.
Yeah.
Can I throw this in your dryer?
Oh. I got to go hear the wah guitar right now.
And then as soon as the door opens, you guys come by like, can we get you on a Ghostly Talk?
Yeah. How can he say no?
What do you know about remote viewing? Because we've got like 4 minutes left before we have to go to break. And then, so we have to talk a little bit about remote viewing.
Absolutely. Remote viewing.
You sound so professional. Remote viewing is actually, like, the thing is, we talked about this on a previous Ghostly Talk.
Where you review your remote?
We talked about, yeah, it's where you sit in the couch and you flip your
remote.
And you look at it.
Remote viewing.
Aaron Downey's a professional remote viewer.
I talked about it on a previous show.
Yeah, we've touched on it briefly, like, all over.
And we talked about it with Cassandra Frost, and what happens is, evidently, it means a couple of things. Mm-hmm. Hopefully Aaron will be able to clarify.
Yeah.
It means to like,
oh God,
I don't know.
Remote viewing was started.
It was
remote viewing was originally
clearing your mind out, wasn't it?
No.
Well, you have to do that. Yes,
it's a type of meditation. It's obviously a type of meditation. When it was originally, designed, so to say, or brought up by Mr. Ed Davis was the main instructor. per the military. It was a military operation. They had it.
Well, Project Stargate.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, it went through a couple names, but Stargate's the popular one.
That's the most popular one.
Yeah.
And Ed Dames was obviously the head of this.
We're not talking about that now, but
documented right now is that he was the head of this.
Okay.
And it was the head of meditation state. And what it was, the original plan was they wanted to use it as a weapon, so to say. They wanted to use it in psychological warfare.
Well, they want that. Yes, they're also doing that stuff out on Montauk about that as well.
Mm-hmm.
But that's less ESP-like and more technological, the stuff they're doing in New York.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more of, when it was under the Department of Defense, it was more of a set of protocols.
Mm-hmm.
The Department of Defense developed a set of protocols, and they labeled it remote viewing, and they labeled it specific kinds of remote viewing, like CRV, controlled remote viewing,
mm-hmm.
and they've got different labels for the different methods, but it is a set of protocols, and that's what I thought has become the popular meaning of remote viewing.
Yeah.
The process itself is designed where they stick a remote viewer in a room, and they say, okay, you know, we go after your target. You've got a target, go after it, figure it out. And then they can do pretty much, I thought, whatever they needed to do. And they could do whatever they needed to mm-hmm. to get that information. But when they get the information, it's not gotten through, like, directly visible means. I mean, they don't, like, physically go to Moscow or physically go to Tikrit and you know, see what they need to see. They do it all within their cell.
Mm-hmm. Well, I stepped away for a second, and you were talking about the special that Aaron was a part of, where he actually, they did an experiment on TV.
On Sci-Fi Channel,
They gave him a target. The target was a person.
The target was this lady, yeah.
You have to find this person.
Yes.
That's all he really had to go on.
And he sat down at a table
drew out the location she was at.
Exactly.
Which was an airport terminal. Giant airport terminal.
And she was she was in an airport terminal.
In a restaurant.
And that was done through meditation, right?
It's a type of meditation. That's part of the whole big thing.
Somewhat power, obviously, to be able to do that.
Well, I believe on Aaron's old site. Yeah, oh, by the way, Aaron's site is ummo.cc.
Yeah.
On his old site, he had said that everybody can do this. It's just a matter of getting it. And doing it. Yeah.
Well, Aaron Donahue was one of Ed Dane's students.
Yes.
And he has culminated himself, well, not himself, what he's been, the work he's been doing is very controversial.
I'll
just put it that way. It's very controversial.
I'm going to ask him what kind of grades he got.
Okay.
You can. That's why he's calling. Because I have no idea. Hopefully he'll ask us some questions as well.
Yeah.
Let me leave you with this before we go to break.
We got to take a break.
Okay. I'm going to leave you with this thought. Okay. For the entire summer of 2003, Aaron Donahue changed his site. It said, remote viewing is dead.
Yes.
We'll be talking to Aaron Donahue after this break.
We'll be right back.
You have tools. Know where to put them? Want your hands free to do other things? Try a stagehand tool belt. Stagehand tool belts can accommodate any task, whether you're building a stage or bringing down a haunted house.
Stagehand tools.
For all your industry needs, we have, for example, EMP pouch, radio pouch, tape measure holders, mailbags, and numerous flashlight accessories. Just go to
www.stagehandtools.com
and see all the cool stuff that Stagehand Tools has for you.
www.stagehandtools.com.
We know where to stick it.
The day has come. dead.
Ghostly Talk, I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
And Karma, finally here.
Karma, I don't hear your microphone in the headphones.
Because she's got a soft voice.
Yeah, and I think we need to turn my mic up a little bit.
Okay, let's hear her now.
Is that better?
That's much better. Now I hear you.
All right.
Yes, we were talking a little bit about remote viewing. Of course, everybody knows that we've got Aaron C. Donahue on the show today.
Uh-huh.
And woo! Yes, and we talked a little bit about it. Of course, we're going to talk to the master himself.
Yes.
Yes.
And this is like the coolest thing we've ever done on this show.
When you emailed me, did you email me or call me?
I think I sent you a smoke signal, actually.
Yeah, and you said, you know, okay, well, Aaron Donahue's going to be on the show. And I thought there was no way. I really didn't believe you.
Yeah, we've been following his work for so long.
Well, you had mentioned it a long time ago.
Yeah.
And we talked about the thing with the consciousness in the machine kind of thing.
Yeah.
And even Phobos called from England about that one. So yeah, he's been causing Ghostly Talk viewers, indirectly causing Ghostly Talk viewers to think.
Yes.
For a long time now.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we talked about that in the consciousness of the machine kind of thing for hours and hours, and it went on and on and on.
After the show.
After the show.
All night long.
We were in the chat rooms. The chat rooms, of course, if you go to ghostlytalk.com or go to pioneer.rolo.net. Rolo is R-O-L-O. You can get in the chat rooms. There's a lot of people in there listening. We do have for you, live on the GT line, we've got Aaron C. Donahue. Aaron, thank you for calling.
Certainly. Glad to be here.
Wow.
I rarely do interviews, so...
Wow.
I had heard that this is actually like you're one of the first, if not the first. I mean, you've been out there. You've been on Sci-Fi Channel. You're in that upcoming movie, Suspect Zero. But so you've been out there for a while, but not really in an interview format, although really here on Ghostly Talk, it's usually more of a discussion format. Where we just discuss things.
And
so
talk and we think and...
Yeah, talk and think and we say a lot of wows. Yeah.
I got to say something before we get started here. I'm just like totally blown away. Aaron, thank you so much for doing this, coming on the show. I'm really blown away. I've been wanting to talk to you for so long and actually, you know, just at least converse with you for so much time. I just want to thank you personally for coming on the show and doing this with us. I really appreciate it. And it's an honor to talk to you, really, because, I mean, the work you've been doing and the stuff I've been reading and studying from you is just, it's brilliant. It's very brilliant. And it makes me think, I know it makes a lot of other people think, too.
And that's what's important.
Yes.
Well, thank you. I'm not one, of course, to really care so much about publicity or being seen all that much, but I do have a responsibility based upon what I know. And that's really what this is all about. It's not about me or any of our petty egos or accomplishments or these things of vanity. It's really about all of us and something very important I'm going to tell you tonight. So thank you. The feeling's mutual. I'm really glad to be on to your show.
Man.
You know, Aaron, I don't know a whole lot about you, but I've seen your picture.
I knew that this was going to come up. I knew it was going to come up.
Wait a minute. I thought you were Phobos' girlfriend.
Well, is he listening? But no, I just wanted to say that I'm going to learn a lot tonight about what you do and the things that you've researched and that you know. So I'm going to have questions for you.
Cool.
I don't quite understand the picture part, but it's difficult. Although everything is infinite, we do see everything as we actually are. In the words of Huxley, perverted a bit, because I'm in the body, I can't really judge myself.
You've done some amazing stuff. I mean,
I'll probably learn something from you in that respect.
Believe me, you will.
Karma teaches us new stuff all the time.
Yes,
but usually we can't. You know, we can only learn from afar. So what happens is that you've caused quite a couple of interesting stirs in the remote viewing world, which, by the way, is really picking up.
It needed to be done.
Part of the reason it's been picking up is because it's gotten some attention in late-night talk radio, that kind of thing.
Essentially, I want to say right away that remote viewing is dead, buried, gone, forever, decomposed, and never see it again. It's completely evolved into something totally new. People who are doing remote viewing now are basically on an old rung of the ladder, and it's rotted, and it's decayed, it's going to take a while before they realize that something better has come along. And anyone who had previously thought that remote viewing was the end of everything and that it would not evolve, well, I'm going to disappoint them. It has been completely overhauled and changed and evolved into something entirely better. And I appreciate what I've learned from remote viewing. It's just dead. It's completely new. What I'm doing is a bit esoteric to many people, but it can be taught, and you must learn it. It's very important that many, many people learn this now, because it involves a very sophisticated and higher communication system, and we need this right now. And I'll explain why that is later in the show. Anyway, I want to get back to this. You earlier mentioned the ghost in the machine with EVP. I wanted to say with EVP, there's one particular thing that I had seen at the Monroe Institute while I was residing there, going through a program.
Oh, my gosh. You were at the Monroe Institute?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I went through the entire program.
One of my one of my heroes is Robert Monroe.
Well, yes, it was a wonderful thing.
You know, and, rest in soul.
Primitive. There are better things out there.
Well, he actually did some groundbreaking stuff, though. But he was out-of-body experience kind of person, right?
Oh, yes.
Journeys out of the body and things like that.
Absolutely. I essentially have been fascinated with the Monroe Institute simply because all my life, from the age of four, my first out-of-body experience was on a picnic table at the age of four, looking up at cumulus clouds. It was so beautiful, and I've always felt the Earth was hauntingly beautiful, and I wanted to go into the clouds, don't know why. You know, children don't have a sense of height at that age, generally, and that's when I first learned how scary height could be, and I could see my body becoming smaller and smaller as I looked at it. I laid on the picnic table and achieved the altered state I needed and left my body and found myself in the clouds. Until, of course, I realized that I was of a certain height, and it frightened me. And that was my first, that's my first recollection of out-of-body. And I've been traveling out-of-body since then. Of course, earlier in my years, I would visit girls that I had crush on in grade school out of sheer boredom being there.
Karma is emailing you her address right now.
No, I didn't think of things sexually. In fact, to me, sex is a very spiritual event. It is perhaps one of the highest forms of communication that we know. Oh, that we can know. You know, there are three places where the ego does not exist: during orgasm and death, and when the expectation of anyone is violated, which is basically laughter, which produces laughter, and also the P300 brainwave, which is essential to learning. So those three things, those three areas are where the ego does not exist. So in that sense, if you add a spiritual component to all three, then you get a different perspective, certainly of sex. And I had it then, and I certainly have it now. This interplay between lust, which is the force of love, and love itself, and the spiritual relationship between the two is something that we play with, indeed. Anyway, back to the ghost in the machine. I want to tell you a story about something that happened to me while I was with the Hopi. I had met a Tohono priest and was invited to Hoda Villa. And this particular situation, I had remote viewed the missing clay tablet, and I actually located this thing and pointed it out on the reservation where it was.
So this is something they contacted you and said we need to find
the strange series of events. So essentially found the clay tablet and basically part of the stone tablet, this clay tablet, and I know what it means, and I conveyed the message to the Hopi and essentially caused such a stir. Unfortunately, the problem for many of the youngsters there is a matter of ethnocentricity. It was felt that anyone with this kind of knowledge couldn't possibly be white. And due to the fact that my life was in jeopardy, I had to leave. But I don't blame the Hopi. I love the Hopi. Their culture is wonderful. It's a matriarchal society, one of the last such societies on the earth. There are others, but I believe in New Guinea that you might have some matriarchal society there left. But this is I learned a great deal from the Hopi. And one of the things that happened to me there was I was remote viewing, and in the midst it looks at the world. Through repetition, I remote view Kai over and over and over again, and changing the way my brain operates. And that's another story. So you mentioned on a previous show the movie Pi. Someone recently told me about this movie, and I'd seen it, and I realized how similar that was to what I was actually doing with Pi.
Really?
It led me to see non-historical data. It allowed my brain to look at patterns of information in such a way that I could access numbers which had not yet been created. But while I was there beginning this process of Pi, this, and I'm going to call it a strange sort of a holograph. I can't describe it any other way, but this woman in a blue dress from the ground up, before my remote viewing desk, from the very ground up, just appeared. And you know how it is with a ghost. When you see a ghost, you don't really remember how the ghost got there, and you never see it disappear. There's no process by which this thing appears or disappears. This was something rendered. It appeared to be a holograph of some kind, and it appeared from the ground up, and it materialized. And you could literally put your hand through this woman standing in a blue dress. It was my height. Beautiful, beautiful woman. Hauntingly beautiful. She was wearing a brooch. I can't identify the brooch, but I know that she was wearing this, and I was so overwhelmed by seeing this beautiful woman in red hair and a blue dress standing there in milky white skin looking directly at me. And I was just so amazed, and I wondered, what is this standing right before me, because I can see it. And I'm a skeptic when it comes to things like this, and this was just absolutely amazing. I thought someone was playing a trick on me. And being alone there in Arizona, I knew that there was, you know, some elaborate trick. And but it wasn't that. What happened was, is I reached my hand into it, and she immediately looked at me. And she became aware with her. I could tell by her facial expression that I was aware of her, and it stunned her. She had the look of surprise and awe and shock, as if I had scared her. By looking right at her, so she knew I could see her. And at that moment, she disappeared, and I watched her disappear. So this was not the paranormal type of ghost activity. This was some technology. And it reminded me of a projection that a computer might create, something rendered by a computer.
You talk about that on your site.
Yes.
About the pods.
Yes. And so I remote viewed this woman later on to find out, of course, I had the tool to find out anything, and so I remote viewed what this woman could be. And it turned out to be, to my shock and horror, these are people that were once with body and soul, most likely living today as young children. Right now, as young children, they have transferred their consciousness into a computer matrix, and they are begging for us to unplug the machine. They're begging for us not to build these pods, to build these machines. It is a liquid technology. These are liquid cells, or cells that are artificially, these are artificial cells created. It's almost like a neural net. It's not a computer. It's actually a neural net. These cells repair themselves. There's a solution, and it's sealed inside of a tank, or a pod, if you will, and these pods are placed in deep salt mines on the Earth and on the Moon and in one other space body. And I can't quite tell what that is. It could be a satellite that sent this thing into orbit somewhere and it landed somewhere. But these pods all communicate with each other somehow. And they are basically filled with people who we didn't have time to evolve, essentially. That's the story. So we had to transfer our consciousness into computer matrix, or we'd cease to exist. Now, here's the clincher. They're begging to die. They're begging to turn this off. They're trapped in what I feel is an eternal hell. Essentially, they're warning us about our planet. They're warning us about what had happened. But they have limited technology to reach us in because things happen so quickly, there was little time to create the proper programming, to create the proper environment for their existence. And they understand that they've lost their soul. Basically, if you destroy the Earth, you will lose your soul. There's only one soul, and all humans share it. actually is involved with the generation of the soul. The brain itself operates in terms of human consciousness at 10 billion neurons firing simultaneously. Somewhere in third trimester, you'll begin to transmit the soul. And we can lose the soul if we lose the ability to transmit the soul. And that is defined by brain damage. Basically, might be an example of this, where you're no longer firing 10 billion neurons simultaneously. And basically, you have a neural net that is very similar to the human brain firing at 10 billion neurons simultaneously, creating a conscious awareness of some kind, a soup of cells contained in a titanium tank of some kind, buried deep in a salt mine, and these cells are designed to hold human consciousness.
When, I have a question. These things, they're existing now.
They're going to be created.
Oh,
right now, because of the fact that we've destroyed our environment. I want to tell you something very important.
Okay.
The Earth ecosystem is now beyond repair. We have essentially destroyed our planet's life support system for humans. And a nearby planet is a good model for what will happen to us many, many years from now. Look at Venus.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
Venus, essentially, you look at Venus at, what is it, a rotation of 245 days. It has a Fahrenheit about 800 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not probably going to get that hot, but I would say that eventually the Earth will succumb to global warming to the extent that we have this runaway greenhouse gas effect, and all life as we know it, basically the planet's dying. All life as we know it, it's going to go away. We're seeing the end of the life cycle of Earth. We've destroyed it. There was a delicate, delicate eco balance. And it was our job to tend the garden. And right now, if people listen, right now, if people stop burning fossil fuels, right now, if people wake up globally, worldwide, and start tending the garden, we can do something about this. But if you were a betting man, would you bet on human extinction right now as things are going, or would you bet on some nexus, some sort of awareness, just overwhelming the entire planet and waking everyone up? I'm betting on human extinction. And there's a third path here. Basically, there's a third path, there's a way out of this, and it doesn't mean transferring our consciousness into a computer matrix. There's a third path here, and I want to talk more about that later. But essentially, we're a dying race of beings on a dying planet. Now science is backing this up. Your forests are dying globally. They're dying in Russia. They're dying in the United States. Recently here in the United States, you have the Spanish moss. It's a type of moss that's overwhelming many, many of the forests and trees along the Pacific coast. And you can drive for miles from Oregon to Northern California, and you can see just vast numbers of trees covered in this moss. Again, a product of global warming and industrial pollution, overpopulation of humans. You have to ask yourself, why are women having so many babies now? Why is it right now all the rage in Hollywood to be pregnant?
I would say in Hollywood, but I mean, people around me, I know a lot of like 30, 40-year-olds that don't have kids.
Right.
And
well, a lot of people are aware that the environment is in bad shape, and if you're having a child now, that child is going to suffer immeasurably.
Well, I think
there's nothing we can do. Our planet's dying, and our economies worldwide will never recover. There's not going to be a dive into chaos. It's going to be a slow, miserable death, a very disgraceful death.
Well, I think that there's the... Because I remember seeing some ant colony studies, actually. And these ants, when their colony was put into distress,
extinction behavior.
Yeah, they would start having more ants. I mean, they would lay as many eggs as possible, or whatever they do. I don't know.
That's exactly the point I want to make.
So what they
doing it is because on a instinctual level, our biology demands that we reproduce in large numbers. This occurs during wartime and during times of the message that we have, and guess where this message comes from? I want to talk about myself as a Luciferian later on and what this means. Basically, there is an entity that manipulated our DNA. There's a reason why we build monuments. We alone have the power to destroy our environment. Whereas something smarter than we are, something much older than we are, with a much more sophisticated communication system than we have, the dolphin has a larger forebrain than we have. It lacks the power. It lacks the ability to build monuments. It lacks the ability to destroy its environment. It's locked into the system of nature. We have a choice, and you can't blame the entity that we profanely call Lucifer. We can't blame this entity for that. We have to blame ourselves. And concerning that as well, we are the Messiah. There is no Messiah outside of us to save us. Jesus is not going to float down out of the sky and save us with his rapture mobile. There'll be no smoking shoes. That is crazy. What isn't crazy is when you remote view what is behind everything. For example, Jesus was a genetic was a human being who was genetically modified by the one we call Lucifer. I know the Christians are not going to like this, but the truth is the truth. Basically, we are being programmed for self-destruction. And I want to get into that later on to show why that is and exactly what sort of thing this war in heaven involves.
Well, I'll tell you what, let's do that. Let's do that after a break because we're at the top of the hour. So stay on the line. We'll talk to you through the break, and we're going to
take a quick break here.
Yeah, we're going to take a little break.
I need to get my ears. I got smoke coming out of my ears.
Well, I have several questions piled up already. So
much to talk about. I don't know where to begin.
So listen to this break, and we will be back. I'm Doug.
And I'm Scott L.
And, of course, our guest is Aaron T. Donahue after the break. In spite of all of this, in spite of the ecosystem falling apart, in spite of the monetary systems, you know, depressing and having a tough time recovering and probably, like you said, never recover, in spite of all this stuff, there's other things going on, and they're important things. For example, just in the past, like, 2 years or so, I started reading about all these indigo children.
Oh, yes.
And this is like, you know, it's
very responsive to Lucifer. Indeed, they are.
Right, and they've got, you know, gifts, talents, and things that are beyond their own parents. I mean, their parents.
And they're not Christian, and they never will be. They'll never be Buddhists. They'll never be people who follow Muhammad. They will never be that way. They essentially will follow truth and the light of truth.
And it's about time, you know. But
and we need these children, and they're essentially targets.
We probably needed them, you know.
And we're trying to cure them of their apparent behavior patterns, as we call them. And essentially, they're just fine on their own.
Right, and there's whole, like, support groups and books and everything about these children. I mean, but that's happening. I mean, nobody started that happening. Like the two parents didn't get together and say, let's have an indigo child. It just sort of happened.
Actually, there's no such thing as coincidence. Everything is designed. And Lucifer and it's the other entities involved with genetically manipulating us. The genetic manipulation, I believe, stopped somewhere in the 70s, and that the work had been completed. We're at the evolutionary end in terms of our DNA, and now it's up to us to psychologically and spiritually evolve. And what's left are these very special children, and many of them were born in the 60s as well. Basically, the last lot of the children were born recently, and that will be it. That's the end. And we hope to bring at least 200,000 humans. That's enough human beings to maintain genetic diversity into the future. That's what we plan to do. We hope to do that. The rest will all die. We can't save them. You know, it's over. How we get them into the future right now, I can't say, because we need help from a progenitor. We need to make contact with Lucifer. If we do not make contact with Lucifer, all is lost. It's pointless to even talk about the indigo children without talking about contact. We need to make contact now, and we need to do it quickly. This is not something that will be sponsored by any government or by any institution that we know. Basically, it'll be sponsored by people like you and me. I'm a regular guy. My brain is wired differently. I have had a fortunate life, a very unusual life. Grew up in a family of psychics. My sister, Jennifer Sharp, is profoundly psychic. She's just like I am. We're basically the Donnie and Marie Osmonds of the psychic world, Jennifer and I. And she is the only woman I know capable of accessing non-historical data. By the way, this is the non-historical data essentially means that you're looking at future number systems. There was a mathematician that died before his time, basically starved to death in India. They created a formula that could predict the next sequence in pi without knowing the previous sequence. This is not that. This is something entirely different. This involves right brain functioning, something so esoteric. I don't have time to teach it here to really shed light on this for you here, but my demonstrations do speak for themselves in terms of six consecutive days revealing lottery numbers. And by the way, Jennifer and I would like to come back and work with lottery and give you a demonstration. And we're not going to tell you which state that you can go and buy lottery tickets. We'd like to do that in the future for your show, and I'm certain that'll
bring you. We'd love to talk after the show about that.
Yeah.
That
was awesome. Speaking of which, let me explain really quick, because there's probably folks who may not know. Aaron, back in May, had posted on his website winning like 3-digit lottery numbers for what, 6 days in a row?
That's correct.
And the only thing that had been, I don't know if you could call it an error, but the only thing that was like even questionable or was like, oh my gosh, how could that have happened, was May 22nd. You got the 3 numbers correct, but they were just, 2 of them were interposed or, you know, switched out of order.
So, will look like a 9, and that's I'm not perfect. That's
right. I mean, but still, nobody on the planet should be able. I mean, as it exists now. I mean, you threw statistics completely out the window.
Yeah.
You might as well take all the statistics books and you know, put them in a big bonfire. I'm not for, you know, burning books, but
yeah.
I mean, statistics. You took and you shot statistics right through the roof.
Yeah, this can't be explained. Science would call this a phenomenon. But they won't look at it any further than that because they can't explain it.
So
this breaches that.
Yeah, this goes way beyond everything that's known about number systems as they were known before May, anyway. I mean, because even people in on the lottery don't know what numbers those balls are going to, like, pop up as or however they do it.
This proves to people that I can see the future.
Yes, it does.
Without a doubt. Mm-hmm. I have access to the future. So when I tell you your planet is dying, well, you had better listen.
I want to ask
you. Hey, that's the thing, is I have proven that I can see the future, and I'm telling everyone that our beautiful garden is being unraveled, being destroyed by overpopulation of humans.
Are there
what kind of humans?
Are there predictions in the Bible and in the Torah?
I need to refer to the Bible because the thing is just a load of crap.
Well,
if you want to destroy the Bible, study the word Lucifer and realize that basically the person who injected this, I believe the name was injected by Saint Jerome. This is a Latin word that doesn't belong in an area where there should be Hebrew words. And basically, the Bible confuses Nebuchadnezzar with this other king called Nabonidus. Forgive me for not pronouncing the name correctly, but I think it's pronounced as Nabonidus. Who was the one who ate grass, and there are many, many holes in the Bible, and I just find Christianity so offensive in every way.
Well,
basically,
the reason I asked wasn't because Christianity is offensive or whatever. The reason I asked was because there is a lot of study, a ton of study about Bible code and the number systems that can be found in
the Bible. Bible code implies the Libra of Allegis, and you'll find far more interesting. Basically, when you write anything, your subconscious mind is talking to you, and mainly about the future, because you have a right brain, and your right brain knows the future. You can take the Bible code, a similar code, and apply it to anything that's written, and you'll find prophecies. The Bible's not special in that way. We are special. There is no Messiah outside of us. We are the Messiah. The God is within us all. We need to work together and stop projecting some God outside of ourselves that will save us. We need to look inward and work together and get rid of these crazy religions. They're tearing us apart spiritually.
Well, that might happen anyway. I mean, you know, St. Malachi only predicted 2 more popes, for example. So
yes, he did. And there's something to be said for some of the prophets who were First of all, involved with the book of Revelation, some interesting things there, but for the most part, the Bible is so full of holes, it's so incorrect and so completely twisted. You have to wonder, what sort of thing was, what angel, you remember Paul of Tarsus? Paul, essentially, had a classic abduction. If you really read the Bible and realize what happened to this guy, it is a classic abduction. And this thing claimed to be Jesus that struck it, Paul, to start a church. We know today as a Roman Catholic church. And Paul was instructed to start this thing. And he alone was responsible for the dichotomy between Eve, the evil temptress, and the Virgin Mary. So only a good woman would be a woman who can have a child without having sex. And if you want to control women on planet Earth, you make them feel guilty about having sex. Because you control the sex of a woman, you control her. And Christianity is very sex negative, and very much in hatred of women. And you know, I find Christianity to be the most destructive of all the four great religions. And it's one of the first religions that has to be thrown away. We've got to get rid of it because it is psychologically destructive, spiritually destructive. And I could just go on and on about giving examples of why the Bible is perverting us. And I believe the entity involved with perverting us with the Bible that gave it, that gave Paul the instructions to start the church, was an angel that opposed Lucifer, that wanted to set mankind up to destroy itself. We are basically programmed into self-destruction. We now believe in the apocalypse so much we're going to make it happen because we're being programmed to destroy ourselves. Why do you think these angels wanted to do this? Perhaps they had something out for Lucifer? No. They have something out for us because the God is within us. Basically, we have the opportunity to evolve. And there's another side to this. It was a test, a certain test. If we could wake up and realize what is happening and to make the proper choices, we can evolve. We can reach this nexus of 10 billion brains operating simultaneously. And we can reach this nexus of a new sort of awareness that we've never had before. And that the only way that can occur is when we have 10 billion humans who are tending the garden, taking care of the planet Earth. Earth is alive. It actually has, it's a sentient being. You can communicate with the Earth. Ask the Indians. They'll all tell you this. And
oh, yeah.
They can prove it to you. I've seen it done. Talking about rain dancing and some of the rain dances, when the Hopi do this, I have personally seen Hopi communicate with the Earth in such a way to manipulate weather. They can really do this.
Well, I
understand it.
I think it may also not just be the Indians because, although they...
Certainly other people can. Anybody with a right brain... But see, this culture with the Hopi is very special because almost Indian cultures are very special because they have accented or facilitated right brain functioning in their culture. The Indians listening to this may not understand what I'm talking about when I talk about the right brain because they take this for granted. They grew up being right-brainers. They grew up being involved with the whole the global brain being processed in such a way that they're connected with the Earth and the universe around them. They don't have this materialism that we have here that draws us away. Essentially, children, we're teaching children to read before they enter grade school. Basically, we're programming our children to be left-brain-dominant beings. We live in a left-brain-dominant world.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's other things going. This is yet another case where there's other things going on as well. For example, late night talk shows on radio, they have run some experiments, and the experiment is to concentrate on something. So their listenerships are, you know, like phenomenal, and they get a lot of people concentrating on something at the same time. For example, that hurricane that just happened, and then by the time it hit land, it was a tropical storm.
Oh, I got something to tell you about the hurricane. you ever wonder why during hurricane or somewhere near the hurricane you'll have earthquakes, other parts of the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, geothermal warfare. No, I don't want to get into this too much, but basically you can auto-heat the center of a hurricane to disrupt it so it doesn't cause so much damage. And we have the technology in our country to actually heat the center of a hurricane. I'm going to get in trouble for this, but essentially that's what we're doing, and it has other effects like earthquakes. So basically watch the pattern of earthquakes every time a hurricane approaches our country and all of a sudden dies out from a Category 5 to a tropical storm like the recent one has done so. And hurricanes can hit other countries, other parts of the world. We're not auto-heating. We're not basically heating the center of the hurricane. But you can do it. I don't want to name names or get into technologies, but basically Tesla had something to do with this. We developed something that Tesla was involved with, and we can basically heat, using the ionosphere, we can heat the center of a hurricane and basically disrupt it to such a degree that it doesn't cause so much damage.
But then
the problem with that is you still get the rains. You still get a great deal of damage from flooding and so on.
But then, you mean there's an after effect, such as with this last hurricane, then we had that horrible earthquake in Japan?
There's a new weapon system that, this is a secret, there's a new weapon system that involves our atmosphere.
Well, I don't want to die in here.
Yeah, I don't want the feds outside my house, so that'll be a different show.
I'm not even going to get into it.
But
I'm actually not interested in what our crazy scientists are doing in the name of defense or offense. I'm not interested in any of that. I'm interested in saving a certain remnant of human beings from extinction.
Well, yeah, all those other things are
enough to human genetic diversity. So I don't care. You know, I do know that the United States eventually will get into it with China. And I'll give you a prediction right here. Mm.
Yeah, I read that on your old website.
We are going to lose World War III. The United States will lose it.
Yeah, we were talking, when Will and I were leaving Applebee's the other night, I said, we said something about World War III, and I said, well, we'll all be Chinese.
Well, the Chinese are very, very smart people. I love the Asian cultures.
Mm-hmm.
I find them to be just fascinating in every way. I can't say enough about them. They are just brilliant cultures of people.
Well, Orientals also are
beautiful, too. Very beautiful people. They're very different, and we could learn a great deal from them, but it's too late now.
Absolutely, and they're also more in tune with nature than our Western civilization.
I find the whole idea of Western civilization, Eastern civilization, I find the whole idea of the two things being separate is so ridiculous. I'm a one-worlder. I believe in one-world government. I believe in things being centralized in such a way that we just basically are one race of beings working together on one thing. And if we could just somehow wake up these people and get them out of their petty politics and their petty ideas about God and so on, or lack of God, it doesn't matter. We need to get people together to focus on the dying planet.
How do we do this? I mean, obviously you have to put the word out, like appearing on Ghostly Talk.
It starts here, but I think that you're going to get a lot of people who are basically going to tune this out. I'm going to infuriate a lot of people, and I don't really care about that. That's amusing to me.
Well, whether they're mad or not, at least hopefully they'll be thinking about it. And exposed.
We can't deny it.
And exposed to another viewpoint.
I'm amused by it because basically I'm right. Our planet's dying. The human race is going to become extinct.
Well, there's a ton
of extinction. We're exhibiting pre-extinction behaviors everywhere. I mean, you wonder why people do a 360 in the McDonald's with a machine gun. You have women waking up in the middle of the night beating their children to death with baseball bats. You have people going bowling with their cars in public areas. I mean, you remember this elderly fellow that basically went human bowling with his car into a crowd of people?
Yep.
Right. That was recently done. And I would say maybe 2 weeks after that, I could be wrong, the same thing happened again. Patterns, these are patterns. It keeps happening over and over again, and they're going to increase in numbers. You're going to see a lot more aberrant behavior patterns emerging. And I also want to get into demonic possession. Don't let me forget to do that, because that's fascinating.
Let's do that, because we only have 8 minutes left of this show, you know.
So much to talk about.
I know.
Basically, the demons were released. They're now released. How did I do it? Anton LaVey, what a great fellow. Anton LaVey, I briefly met him once in San Francisco. I think the world of this guy. There's a hero, if there was ever a hero. Basically, he did some research and through the internet revealed 72 demons that were pointed out by Lucifer. Very interesting, great work. However, it wasn't as effective as what I had done. Why? needed a certain way to display themselves. They had to direct my arm through my autonomic nervous system to be displayed in such a way to have a maximum effect on the mind of the seer. Basically, Solomon could not have done this. I needed 100 brains to see my demon as posted to my website simultaneously, 100 brains to basically download the image that the demon wanted these people to see, to have an effect that it wanted. So basically, the transmission of the demon could take place. Essentially, possession. But I want people to know that this is not a bad thing. Your heads don't spin around backwards. You don't take the crucifix and start stabbing your vagina with it and spitting out blood. It's just a lie. Christians,
why the vagina?
These entities communicate. It's okay to be possessed. They're now learning to use your nervous systems. And they're possessing anyone that they want. Basically, they're out. And they got out this way by having 100 brains. You know the 100 monkey theorem?
Mm-hmm.
That can affect the global situation, affect the planet. These things are working on our side. They want you to become aware of your planet dying, like Lucifer wants you to become aware of Venus. That's why when you're low view Lucifer, you get the name Lucifer associated with the entity, because this is the old Latin word for Venus. And it's also a way to point out how hypocritical and how completely inaccurate the Christian Bible is. So it serves many, many purposes. There are other layers to this as well. And going back to the Babylonian king, Nebuchadnezzar, there's another story there for another show. But back to the demons. Essentially, with 100 brains, seeing my demon, as it's been remote viewed, up to stage 8, seeing the demon and reading it, having that demon could reach out only through 100 brains seeing it simultaneously, in that way. This is the first time it's ever been done. And I'm going to tell you the most amazing things that happened while I was remote viewing these demons. Take, for example, Fenix. During the time a bird flew in, and I got the image of a bird. They wanted me to show this, a girl in a tunnel that was singing in the distance, as if she were dead. And this bird flew in and hit above me something, and it dropped right onto my page in the middle of the circle. It was obviously possessed with something. It was very strange because it turned its head as if it was being held to do so. And it dropped one single drop of blood from its beak right into the eye of Fenix. And go to my website right now and click on Fenix from the demons. You'll see that very drop of blood that I've documented. Strangest thing. And it was amazing the things that would occur simultaneously as I was releasing these demons.
Wow.
But the interesting thing is, you have 10 billion... here you have 100 brains seeing these demons all at the same time, operating on a conscious level. This is the first time this has ever been done. And it had to be done in a certain way. Demons created mythologies to assist us in our psychological and spiritual evolution. That's why some demons will project a unicorn. And people will see this unicorn, and they'll create myths, and that will guide us into the further breakdown of our bicameral minds, which is the whole purpose of Lucifer. This is the father of the human race. This is Lucifer's planet. This is not the planet of the angels that gave you the four great religions. This is Lucifer's planet, and we are the children of Lucifer, all of us, and we're going to take this planet back. That's what we're going to do, and that's what I'm about.
How do you do this? Like, you've got to reach more than 100 people, though, to...
Monkey Down, you see, here's a situation where the reason why I have 11 women and 100 men surrounding what I'm doing. Essentially, the 100 men match resonance with the 11 women.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically think one thought in terms of the impact we can have. It's profound. It's worldwide. If you're a human being, you're going to match resonance, morphic resonance. You're going to match resonance with these 100 men that are thinking the same thing. The 11 women are the closest to Lucifer. They are basically in control of the order. And I'm like a ghost. I'm like a pessimist. I just basically the bridge between this and that. The order itself, where you have the 11 women, it is a matriarchal order. They are in charge of everything. They know everything, and they don't talk. the 100 men talk, but they also meditate and they match resonance, you see? And basically when you have 100 people operating with that sort of neurons, those numbers of neurons firing simultaneously, what you have is you have an effect on the whole human race outside of its awareness. And we are directing towards saving the planet and saving a remnant of humans.
Well,
creating a better future for our children. And that's basically what we're about. We're not about anything threatening. We're not about anything harmful. We're about saving the Earth for our children so that they can have a better future. And these children are the children of light. They are the true children of Lucifer. They are the indigo children.
Excellent. If there's anything you ever need to discuss or get out to folks, let us know, and I'm sure other...
In the future show, we'll do a demonstration for you.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, I was going to say, would you like to come back sometime soon?
And we will, we're the Donnie Lee Osmonds of the Psychic World. We will work together and do this great show with Lonnie for you, if you like, in the future, and I predict that we'll do that 3 shows from now.
Well, that would be a much more... commercial kind of show. This was a pretty heavy show with a lot of theory, fact actually.
Oh, there's so much more. I haven't even begun to basically we just touched the surface of it. You wouldn't believe what's going on.
I have some great
exciting
to do.
And there is hope for you all. Your planet's dying, but I'm telling you there's hope. There's a third path, and I want to tell you about that third path and what it means in terms of the order. Next time.
Let's do that. For now, we're going to have to call. Oh, you know what? I have to say, at the beginning of the show, someone was in the chat room, says you won't remember him, but Vance says hi.
No, it was a different person.
Well,
Vance says you'll remember him. He was.
Oh, Vance says you'll remember him.
Florida.
All right. Hello, Vance.
There was a guy that...
It'd be great. I want to thank Sandra for coming on the air before this and doing the Aaron Donahue warm-up thing. She was very nice.
She was phenomenal.
And, that I really, really appreciate that indeed.
She was phenomenal. We have to get her back on. She said so many things at the end that just triggered... like 80 million things in my head, you know, questions that I wanted to ask her, and of course it was at the end. So
yes.
I have to get back on. But, and so it was Vance, and who was the other fellow?
There was another guy who went to school with your sister that sent us a senior picture of you.
I want to see that one.
Yeah, we actually have your senior picture.
Okay, well, I didn't get the picture thing, but you don't have to take a look at that. It will never come back. It's been replaced with the acquisition of non-historical data. Don't forget that.
It's been replaced with the acquisition
of non-historical data. It's a system I use, or PEN for short.
When are you going to write this in a book? Are you going to...
Well, thanks for reminding me. Oh, yes, that's right. See, the money thing, yeah, that's right. I'm so independent, I don't... right now I'm living this beautiful, beautiful Victorian 16-room monster. And it's haunted as all get out. You wouldn't believe.
I am so bringing my equipment.
It's very important you surround yourself in beauty.
Yeah, can we go?
The house was built prior to 1900, and time the earth was still alive, and we had hope. It was very, very beautiful place to live. I want to mention the fact that I'm going to be selling a book. That's running us out. I'm not going to give it away, you know, and I'm not going to apologize for it either because I worked very hard for it. You're all going to buy it. You know, I'm not going to give it away.
you know I am going to buy it.
The book is subtitled How to Beat Simple Lottery Systems. And this is something for the average person. I simplify the whole process. I have a very complicated book called The Practical Application of Non-Historical Data. That's a very complicated and deep subject, and it's just very, very difficult to really teach. You can't sit down in a book and just read it and understand it. Basically, I'm going to be selling this book on How to Beat Simple Lottery Systems by Aaron C. Donahue. My sister Jennifer is going to co-author it with me, and my father will probably be helping along with that too. The book is ready now. We just need to basically get it in print. And sell it. So I'll be selling that probably in the next 6 months or so.
Then
you can use the information in that book to access Simple Lottery.
You know what?
Quit your jobs. Quit doing this slave mentality stuff. And basically live like I do.
Just the name of that is...
Filling your watches, don't watch television. I hate sports. It's just a classic waste of time. With the spawning time, you can have sporting activities. Throw away your television. Throw away your whole life as you know now. It's a lie. You know it's a lie. Become not free. Learn how to access non-historical data. You all have a right to, unless you're in Suffolk, you know, you anyone can do this. There's nothing special about me. You can learn this. Everyone can learn this. Get the book. Understand it, apply what I know, and believe me, you can go to your lottery machine and have a lot of fun. I'm also going to have a movie on my website at ummo.cc revealing, of course, myself cashing in a shoebox full of lottery tickets. So you're going to enjoy that one. It's going to be good.
Okay, that totally rocks. Well, yeah.
You're only cashing so much at one time, you know. they think you counterfeit them, you know. And then they look at it and they get their manager. It's pretty funny. So it's a hilarious way to make a living.
Wow, man.
And and anyone can do it, and I think everyone should share it. This.
Okay, there'll be no more lottery anymore.
The scientific...
It's a lottery system. You can beat it. There's a way to do it. And I haven't gone beyond, basically, 9 digits. I can. It's so much work, and I'm just not interested. I'm not a materialist. I hate cars. I hate things. I don't wear diamond rings or anything like that. I just don't care about money, cars... I don't care about anything material. I care about the earth. I care about our earth, and I care about our children. Those two things I am focused on, and I'm very, very upset by the lack of concern other people show for those two things.
Well, one of the good things about the book and things like that is that the right person or people will purchase that book for whatever reason, and then they're going to be the ones to carry it the next step.
You hope so. The whole idea is to evolve this thing.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't like being best in the world. This is crazy.
Well,
and I can't get the old lions to listen to me. They're not listening to me. So I'm basically dismissing the old lions. The door's wide open for the old geezers to come in and learn this, but I don't know. It's been open for so long, I'm going to have to close it here, and I'm basically concentrating on the younger, more vibrant, more intelligent brains.
Well, that's your listening
to I need them, because we're going to have some very smart, active people to work on this. And the old lions are going to have to step aside for the new young lion. Here I am. I'm the young lion. I'm on fire. I'm ready to go. And so be it when the younger lion takes my place. Let it happen. I encourage it. And I'm going to break this pattern of trying to destroy the young lions. When I find a younger lion who's better than me, who outshines me, I'm going to support that lion. I'm going to give that lion every opportunity that I had never had. I fought my way all the way here. There was not one bit of this that I didn't have to fight for. I had to fight for every single bit of it. I fought my way to the very top, and even now that I'm on top, I'm the best worldview in the world. Ask yourself, why am I not, with my knowledge, why am I not working for NSA, for the CIA? What are these people need intelligence data, big time. I don't want to work for them because I have no interest in politics or no interest in government.
Right, you have said...
Ask yourself, why am I not being contacted by these people? Isn't it crazy?
You had said on your website that you were probably the only person who probably could remote view the location, the exact location of Osama bin Laden.
Oh yes, and I will not do it.
And you will not do it.
You can't use what I know to cause harm to another human being.
And because you know what they do with that knowledge. You know, they'd go right in and they would, you know, attack.
And I'm opposed to our foreign policy to begin with. I think we're insane for being in Iraq right now. I think our president is an absolute moron. Here's a guy who's in charge of the world's most powerful military who cannot pronounce the word nuclear.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
I am an idiot.
With that, we do have to close the show, though, Aaron.
I really want to sit here all night.
I could.
Talk.
I would, too.
Well, we're going to do this again.
The leaders of old always had a psychic by their side before they made the decision. The last king of this earth that had a psychic by their side would be Joseph Stalin and President Reagan. Indirectly, Reagan had psychics by his side.
Yeah.
So now we don't have any of the kings of the earth, any of the rulers of the earth, asking a psychic for advice before they make a decision. Basically, the best psychics like me were out here selling books and having a good time. Basically, I'm pretty damn happy here.
Well, and hopefully making a difference. That's the thing. Sell the book.
So I'm focusing on basically human extinction and what we can do about it, and I want to make contact with the progenitor of the human race that we profanely called Lucifer. That's my goal.
If you get the information into the right people's hands, which it will happen.
It's already happening now. It's definitely happening now. That's another show.
Yeah, the next stuff will happen. Thank you so much, Aaron.
Aaron, thank you. UMMO.cc.
Exactly.
Go to Aaron's site, check it out.
And we'll put links up on ghostlytalk.com as well.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Aaron. Awesome. We are going to have you back again.
Definitely.
Thanks,
and thank you.
All right.
Yeah,
that's
bye.
It. This was
bye, Aaron. We'll talk to you soon.
And we're closing the show.
Oh, God.
I am Doug.
I was Scott L.
I might be Karma.
I will.
And, of course, Aaron's on the phone. Thank you so much for listening, everybody.
Guys, take care of yourselves and listen and think.
Yes, next Goodbye. Sunday, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Bye-bye.
True science will not deny the existence of things because they cannot be weighed and measured. It will rather lead us to believe that the wonders and subtleties of possible existence surpass all that our mental powers allow us clearly to perceive.
We must ignore no existence whatsoever. We may variously interpret or explain its meaning and origin, but if a phenomenon does exist, it demands some kind of explanation.
A quote from The Principles of Science, William Stanley Jevons, 1835 to 1882.